I want to greet you this evening in Jesus' name. Preparatory service. That means we're preparing for something. As I was thinking about preparatory service, I thought, why? We could probably do without this, and we could. We could get together and have communion without going through this service. Our hearts need to be in tune all the time. But yet I think it's a good thing that we get together and we just do a double check. Take inventory of where we've been, where we're going, what our goals are. There's a verse in 2 Corinthians 13:5 that says, "Examine yourselves, whether ye be in the faith. Prove your own selves. Know ye not your own selves, how that Jesus Christ is in you, except ye be reprobates?" So he's not saying point fingers at other people, but he's saying, look in the mirror. Where are you at? Where am I at? It's something we need to be doing every day. But yet it's something that we want to take just some extra time tonight, between now and Friday, to make sure that we are where we need to be spiritually. We don't want to take communion with a heart that is dark, bringing damnation on ourselves. So that's important that we take inventory. Turn, if you would, in Philippians to Philippians chapter 1. We're going to look at a few of Paul's characteristics and some of his desires for the Philippian church. Sorry, my voice isn't what it normally is. I've been struggling with a cold, and I'm getting close to the end of it. So, some of Paul's characteristics, his desires that he had for the Philippian church here. And I'd like for us to take these and kind of direct them towards ourselves. Are these things that we need to be working on? Are these things that we can grow in? Paul's writing here to the church at Philippi. This church had been planted about 10 years earlier on Paul's second missionary journey. They had sent Epaphroditus with a love offering to Paul. He was in chains at this point, probably chained to a guard. He wasn't a free man to be roaming about. Epaphroditus gets sick. Paul sends him back home. So he's on his own after this letter was written again. I'm going to read through Philippians 1, and then we'll come back and just look at some of these verses. Verse 1 through 11. Paul and Timothy, the servants of Jesus Christ, to all the saints in Christ Jesus, which are at Philippi with the bishops and deacons, grace be unto you and peace from God our Father and from the Lord Jesus Christ. I thank my God upon every remembrance of you, always in every prayer of mine for you all, making request with joy for your fellowship in the gospel from the first day until now, being confident of this very thing, that he which hath begun a good work in you will perform it until the day of Jesus Christ. Even as it is meet for me to think this of you all, because I have you in my heart, inasmuch as both in my bonds and in the defense and confirmation of the gospel, ye all are partakers of my grace. Excuse me, for God is my record, how greatly I long after you all in the bowels of Jesus Christ. And this I pray, that your love may abound yet more and more in knowledge and in all judgment, that ye may approve things that are excellent, that ye may be sincere and without offense till the day of Christ, being filled with the fruits of righteousness, which are by Christ Jesus, unto the glory and praise of God. I look at Paul's letters and I just see love coming out of his letters. We'll look a little bit later here at some of the verses that bring this out. Looking back at verse 1, something I see Paul doing here is placing himself under Christ. He's saying to the servants of Jesus Christ, Paul and Timothy, the servants of Jesus Christ. There he's placing himself under Christ. I'm working for Christ. I am his servant. I have given myself to Him. That's a beginning step. I have to think of, where am I? Am I really working for Christ? Am I working for Lynn? Who am I? What are my decisions doing concerning my walk with Him? Is it benefiting me? Is it making His name great? Making His name known? Making Him famous? To all the saints in Christ Jesus. So now He calls the other saints. Calls Himself a servant and calls the other saints. Again, Paul's love coming through to the people here in Philippi. Verse 2. Grace and peace. Paul was a man of blessing. We love being around people that are full of energy, that are people that are a blessing to others. When I talk to somebody, and I'm going to share a name here, I didn't ask him if I could do this, but when I talk to Luke Kipfer, I can't help but leave excited. Luke and I did a lot of talking when I was in San Antonio, and every time I would talk to him, I would hang up. I'm like, man, this is awesome. I can go again. I'm recharged. That's the kind of person I want to be. Haven't always been that. But it's something that we need to be working on to be a blessing to other believers. We need each other. We'll be talking about that here in a little bit more. But Paul was a man of blessing. He loved the people. He was blessing those around him. Blessing those around us is to love. I think he was anxious to bless people. Am I anxious to bless others? Or would I rather just kind of crawl in my own little shell and forget about the rest of the people? We're looking at maybe doing some remodeling on our house. If I'm not blessing, I'm normally tearing down. I've talked to Nelson about maybe working on our house. If I came home from work one day and I noticed Nelson was just tearing our house apart, not doing what I told him to do, I wouldn't be too thrilled. But we need to be building each other up, not tearing each other down. I've got a lot of confidence in Nelson. That's not going to happen. But we need to be building each other up, working on blessing each other. Paul was a long ways from these people. He was in chains. He didn't have reason to bless people. But yet he was blessing the churches that he was connected to. Verse 3. I thank my God upon every remembrance of you. Paul was a man of prayer. Am I a man of prayer? Are you a man or a brother or a sister of prayer? How much time do I really commit to seeking God? He says here, upon every remembrance of you. This week, I'm not sure what it was, but I thought about Scotts over and over. I'm not sure if they're going through something special or if God just wanted me to think about them. Did I pray for them every time I thought of them? No, I didn't. I wish now I would have. But he said here, every time I think about you, he's praying for them. Upon every remembrance, as often as they come to mind. Sorry, I'm using a lot of people's names tonight. I never even thought about this as I was preparing for the message tonight. But Alan Roth, brother that I've been in contact with a lot while we were in San Antonio. I still remember him telling me, he said, I have on my table, I'm not sure it was a little dish or something, he said, I have a prayer card in there that I have a whole list of names on. And he said, your name's on there. That blessed me. He said, every day. Is that I pull that card out and I pray. I knew there were people praying. How much am I praying for my church family? How much do I take each one of you to the throne? Am I faithful in this? I'm either going to be blessing others, or I'm going to be focused on myself. Focusing on myself gets very lonely. We focus on others. It seems like life speeds up. Things happen. But when we focus on ourselves, life becomes lonely. if I'm praying for my brothers and sisters, what am I praying about? Am I praying for their success? Am I wishing God's best on them? Or maybe just a little less than I have? I believe we need to pray for our brothers and sisters in a way that blesses them, that advances them, that brings them closer to the kingdom. Romans 1:8 says, "First, I thank my God through Jesus Christ for you all," this is Paul talking again, "that your faith is spoken of throughout the world. For God is my witness, whom I serve with my spirit in the gospel of his Son, that without ceasing I make mention of you always in my prayers." 2 Thessalonians 1:3, "We are bound to thank God always for you, brethren, as it is meet, because that your faith groweth exceedingly, and the charity of every one of you all toward each other aboundeth." And there's three more verses here. I'm not going to read them tonight, but three more verses where Paul's talking, where he's telling the churches, "I'm praying for you. I think about you." He was a man of prayer. Why do you think his churches were successful? Why was Paul successful? I know they had a lot of problems with their churches, but the church here, the Philippian church here, they were very successful. Almost looks like maybe they were his favorite. But they were very successful. I think a lot of it had to do because Paul was praying. Maybe he taught them that they need to pray for each other. Let's drop down to verse 4. "Always in every prayer of mine for you all, making request with joy." Paul was a man that had joy in his heart, so he could share that joy when he prayed. He was delighted to pray for them. It wasn't just a matter of, "Now it's my time, I have to pray again." But he was delighted to pray for them. He took pleasure in this, making requests on their behalf because of their steadfast walk with the Lord and because of his steadfast walk with the Lord. How excited am I to lift my brothers up? Has my walk been steadfast that others can pray for me with joy? With those that I associate with confidence say that my walk has been steadfast, that I'm close to the Savior? Paul had troubles enough of his own. He could spend a lot of time just praying for himself. But he was making request with joy. Am I so set on serving my brothers and sisters that I'm willing to let my best lay for them? That's a desire that I have. It's something we need to grow in. To put my brothers and sisters first. Putting others before myself. And that's something I had mentioned here a while back in a message. The word joy. Jesus first, others, and then yourself. I want to drop down to verse 8 now. Actually, I'm going to back up. Something I didn't write down here in my notes that I should have written down here, but I didn't. Verse 6, about Paul's confidence that he had about the church there. "That he which hath begun a good work in you will perform it until the day of Jesus Christ." Paul was certain that what was started was going to continue if they walk faithfully. And that's a blessing for us. We can be certain that we can spend our eternity with our Maker. If we continue, if we're faithful, that he which hath begun a good work in you will perform or complete or finish that work until the day of Jesus Christ. Now we'll go down to verse 8. "For God is my record, how greatly I long after you all in the bowels of Jesus Christ." Excuse me. How he longed for his brothers and sisters. How he would have loved to be in their presence. Do I enjoy fellowship? Do I enjoy being with my brothers and sisters? Does their presence in my life bring me joy? Do I have enough love in my heart to spill over into their lives? What makes it so I don't desire to meet sometimes? Normally it's something that I have in my own heart. It's a self issue that I haven't quite taken care of yet. But meeting with other believers, the blessing of fellowship. When you're away from home for a while and you don't have a lot of others, fellowship is sweet. I remember coming back here and listening to the church here singing. Never thought about it a whole lot when we were here. But just listening to the singing, oh, it was awesome. I didn't just hear my voice or my family's, but I heard others. That's beautiful. We don't do well on our own. When we try to seclude ourselves, separate ourselves from brothers, we don't do so well. Paul said he longs after them. He wanted to be with them. I read a story here a while ago, and I shared this with some of you, so you're going to have to listen to this again. But a story of an older gentleman decided that he really doesn't need his home church anymore. He's going to meet with himself, him and Jesus. So he quit attending church. He just met with himself at home, him and God. The pastor showed up one day, knocked on the door, and the old gentleman went over and he let him in. They went over and sat on the sofa next to the fireplace. Wasn't much said, they just sat. After a while, the pastor gets up, goes over to the fireplace, and he has a tongs laying there. And he picks a red-hot ember out of the coals, and he lays it off to the side, and he sits back down. And again, there was just silence. A little while later, they looked at the ember, and it had gone out. It was black. It had died. The pastor gets up, grabs the tongs, puts the ember back into the flames. And within a matter of minutes, it was red-hot again. He gets up and he walks over to the door. The old gentleman comes over, reaches out his hand and shakes his hand. He said, "Thank you for that message. I'll see you Sunday." When we're on our own, we lose out, don't we? We need each other more than ever. I'm not sure what's happening to our world right now. I look at the news, it's depressing. But I want to be able to look at the church and get excited. Because the church is growing. The more that we're going to be persecuted, and I think that might come, I believe the stronger the church is going to get. Where am I at? Do I love God? Do I love the church? Do I love fellowship? Philippians 4:1. "Therefore, my brethren, dearly beloved and longed for, my joy and crown, so stand fast in the Lord, my dearly beloved." Verse 9, "And this I pray, that your love may abound yet more and more." His desire was that their love would grow for each other. Is my love getting stronger? Am I about loved out? Our love needs to get stronger for each other. The word there in verse 9, sorry, I missed something here. I'm getting ahead of myself. Let's back up a little bit. The love he's talking about is an abundant love. It's a love enough and to spare. I like to think of a glass when you put a drop of soap in the bottom. You turn the faucet on, you set it underneath. What happens? It gets all sudsy. And before you know it, those suds are bubbling out over the glass. That's how I like to picture us as Christians. When we have love in our hearts, it needs to bubble up. It needs to run over. It needs to affect those around us. The last part of that verse says, "May grow Let me start reading. Let me just start at the beginning there. This I pray that your love may abound yet more and more in knowledge and in all judgment. Having a clear perception, the knowledge and judgment. A clear perception, a clear understanding of our position in Christ. Doesn't leave a whole lot of room for doubt if we know where we're at in Christ. But it brings us a security that we can stand on. He will never leave us. He will never forsake us. We're part of Him. We are part of His family. We have an inheritance that I can't describe. Way beyond what we can even think. Where's my love at? Let's go down to verse 10. That ye may approve things that are excellent, that ye may be sincere and without offense till the day of Christ. This word approve talks about testing. When a fabricator wants to weld something together, he checks his metal. He makes sure that the metal is strong. He's not going to use a weak piece of metal where you need something very strong. That's what this word approve is talking about, to test. That you may approve things that are excellent. Excellent, being able to distinguish between good and bad. Checking things out. Not being willing just to accept anything that comes along. But checking it out. Taking it to the Scripture. Things that are excellent. Discerning which is of more value. And taking that. Not the easy route, but what's of more value. To be sincere is to be pure, to be transparent. I had to think of honey. When you pour honey into a jar, and it's good honey, and there's no comb in it, but if you hold it in the sunlight, it really looks good, doesn't it? It's pure. When gold is tried, the more that it's tried, the purer it becomes. I'm told that gold actually gets to be clear. I've never seen it, but I was told it gets to be clear. The more it's heated, the more it's tried, the clearer it becomes. To be sincere, without deceit, having pure motives, aiming for the right things, and doing what it takes to get there. Without offense. Faultless. Now wait a minute, you're saying we can be faultless? In Christ, we can. We can be complete. Of myself, no. It's not going to happen. But in Christ, we can be faultless. Only because He's given us the opportunity to walk with Him. Not offensive to others. Not wounding the feelings of others. Creating no hard feelings. If I'm not going to create hard feelings, that means I'm going to give up myself, ain't I? I'm going to have to let go of some things that I think are what I want. But letting go of some of those things and creating no hard feelings. Ephesians 5:27, that He might present it to Himself a glorious church, not having spot or wrinkle or any such thing, but that it should be holy and without blemish. Holy and without blemish. Only through Christ. But it is possible. Maybe I need to add something that we talked about here a little bit ago. We need to pray for each other, that we are strong, that we'll stay in the Word, that we stay connected to Christ. It's the only way that we're going to be holy. It's the only way. There is no other way. We can try as much as we want to. We can even show up Wednesday night, Sunday morning, dress right. Ain't going to cut it. But we need to stay connected. We need to stay connected to our Father through reading, through prayer, through allowing the Holy Spirit to guide our lives. That's a challenge that's just been laid to me in the last 3-4 weeks. Am I allowing the Holy Spirit to guide my life, to show me where to go, how to walk? Sad to say, I haven't always done that. But I thank God for His forgiveness. I thank Him that He's willing to still consider me. There's nobody here tonight that he won't consider if we're willing to give him the reins, to allow him to take over. Let's go down to the last verse, in verse 11 here. Being filled with the fruits of righteousness, which are by Jesus Christ unto the glory and praise of God. What are the fruits of righteousness? There's many fruits, but I'm going to list just a couple here. I was reading a little bit about this verse, and it made a comment about the tree having fruits on it. The fruits are not going to make the tree, but the fruits are a result of a healthy tree. Something for us to think about. Some of the fruits that I listed here are honesty. Where am I at with honesty? Am I making it look like I'm honest when really, deep down, I'm trying to hide something? Maybe it's just a partial truth. Truth is another one I have here, just a partial truth. Yeah, I can get away with it, but it's really not honest. Being honest, being truthful, regardless if it hurts. Facing whatever we need to face to be honest, to be truthful. Another fruit is goodness. And this will not happen of ourselves. Goodness happens when we are connected to the one who is good. Kindness. I'm going to bring that into the family, I guess. Kindness to our family members. Yeah, it also goes to the church family. But kindness to our family members. How do I do? Am I kind? Or am I Mr. Grumpy? Happens pretty easy, doesn't it? Somebody does something that's just not exactly like I like done, I can get grumpy real quick, can't we? But we need to be kind. We need to be loving. Meekness. Being meek. Letting them have it first. Putting them before me. An attitude that displays that I'm not king of the jungle, but that we're all together in this. I guess these are just some of the things that I picked out of this chapter. And as I was studying these, happens about every time the Lord speaks to you. And he says there's some things that you need to change. So this was good for me. So just challenge us tonight. Where are we at in our walk? I don't want to bring that to you negatively, but I want it to be a positive thing. Are we walking faithful? Are we giving our best to the Lord? Are we loving the family? Loving the family of God? Are we fellowshipping with joy? I guess I just give that to you this evening and ask you just to check. Examine yourselves. Are we walking where we need to walk? Let's bow our heads for prayer. Lord, we want to thank you tonight for the way you speak to us through Scripture. I just pray, Lord, for myself, that you would continue to speak into my heart. Lord, that I would be willing to allow you to shape me and to mold me and to break me if that's what it takes. We just want to thank you again for your love to us, for not giving up on us. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.